I don't know how to put this, but I want you to understand the sensitivity of what we're about to do. When Diane Rigwara was arrested in September last year, her sister Anne Rigwara was also arrested together with the mom. So there are certain sensitivities. People have not been allowed to talk. But Anne has come out to say, listen, I will talk to you guys because you guys have come to me and you want to know a little bit more of what is going on in Rwanda. Please understand that there are certain sensitivities, certain things that Anne may not be able to explicitly say. And I'm hoping that you will be able to read between the lines in some of the replies that she may give and be sensitive of the fact that she needs to be careful about her safety and about her freedom and about any reprisals that may follow her sister and mom who are in jail, if not herself. So I'm hoping that you'll be sensitive to some of the things that will come out and why perhaps we may not pursue a certain line of questioning because we are trying to be as circumspect as possible in this particular interview. So please be part of the conversation if you would like to. And the number is 011-883-0702 as I speak to Anne Rigwara, the sister to Diane Rigwara and Adeline Rigwara's daughter. She joins me now over Skype. Listening, yeah. Good evening to you, Anne, and thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time and your courage to even speak to us at this time. Anne Rigwara, are you there?
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Aubrey.
Thank you very much for joining us.
I'm doing well, thank you.
I really appreciate it. How is your sister, Diane Rigwara, at the moment, and your mother, who are incarcerated? How are they?
They are doing all right. They are staying strong. They have managed to hold it together all this whole past year. It's been a year now since they've been incarcerated. And they are doing well, by the grace of God.
Why are they in jail?
Why? Well, they are in jail because they, for Diane Shima, my sister, for Diane Rigwara, she announced her intentions in 2017 to run for the Rwandan presidential elections of August 2017. And so I guess her ambitions are what landed her in prison. And for my mother, Adeline, she exchanged WhatsApp messages with her sister who lives in Canada, explaining to her her grievance, how she was grieving after my father, Assinapol Rwigara, was killed on February 4th, 2015. So the authorities found messages, WhatsApp messages of my mother in her phone where she's talking to her sister, pretty much explaining to her how upset she is about the government killing my father. So those are the accusations.
Your father was a good friend of Paul Kagame's. He was a financier to Paul Kagame's Patriotic Front, Rwandan Patriotic Front. He was killed in the 1990s. We're told by the authorities that it was because of a car crash. What are your thoughts as to the reasons for your father's passing, given the fact that he was, I suppose, quite friendly with Paul Kagame, the president?
Well, my father was a supporter of... my father financially supported the RPF in the 90s during the struggle while the struggle was still going on in the early 90s, when the RPF... attacked Rwanda to take over power from the previous regime. My father was one of the people who financed the the RPF, which eventually took power in 1994, with Kagame as the head of the Patriotic Front. So he had been part of the RPF, but he had also been harassed constantly from the time the RPF took power in 94. It was an ongoing struggle from the time the RPF took over the country. They found business people who had been living in Rwanda for all those years, my father being one of them, and they managed to make most of them their slaves, if I might say, and those who did not comply, some of them fled the country and others were killed. So my father was eventually killed in February of 2015. And it was not a car crash, as the government has pronounced it as a car crash. It was not a car crash. It was an assassination. I was present. I saw it. I was on site with my mother, and we witnessed the horror assassination. So it's not something I have to go through other people to explain to me. I witnessed it myself. So it is not as they are told.
When your sister was arrested last year, Victory Ingabire, who is also a woman activist, was also arrested. She is also languishing in jail at the moment. But I believe you were arrested alongside your sister at that same time too. And what was the reason for your arrest? And perhaps you could give us a little bit of light as to why Victory Ingabire was also arrested.
Victoire Ingabire was arrested in 2010 as she tried to run for presidential office for the 2010 presidential elections. Shortly after that, she was also arrested on crimes of minimizing the genocide. I don't quite remember the exact article under which she was imprisoned and sentenced, but it was also during a presidential election, right after presidential elections of 2010. And then 7 years later was my sister in 2017. And for me, yes, I was incarcerated as well with my mother and Diane last year, over the same charges as my mother, really, because of text messages, WhatsApp text messages I had exchanged with family members. I had, if I remember well, it was a message I sent to my family, to my siblings, expressing my frustration following a business meeting I had gone to, and I was expressing my frustration. I think I said something along the lines of the Rwandan system being a mafia state. So when they took my phone, they found a message, and that was good enough for being incarcerated, I guess.
You're talking to us. Yeah. You're talking to us now, and you are expressing, I suppose, frustration about the fact that your sister has been arrested, your mother has been arrested, in the fashion that you've described. Does this interview not put you in danger?
Well, it probably does. It probably does. But you know, we have seen so much as a family. We have seen so much as Rwandans. At some point, you have to get to a point where you stand up and stand firm. And I was in prison for over a text message. I mean, if we cannot even exchange messages between families, what are we allowed to do? My father was killed over him protecting his business for something he worked for his whole life. So there is really no fine line. It's a very fine line between what you are allowed to say and what you are not. And that is the reason why I speak up. That is the reason why my family speaks up.
Rwanda is understood to be quite progressive in as far as women representation in parliament. And from somebody who stands outside of Rwanda's sort of politics, one looks at this and says, this is very exemplary. But if I look at the people that have been arrested as they have made their political positions known, even to stand for presidency, there seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, Anne, there seems to be a focus on the arresting of women activists. Help me through that. Would I be fair in making an observation of that nature?
Repeat your question.
So my question is, the political leaders who seem to be arrested at the moment for their dissenting voice seem to be women.
Yes. And your point is, yet Rwanda has the most female lawmakers in the parliament, right?
Indeed.
It's ironic. But we do. There is a lot of progress in the country. When you look at the country has grown in the last 24 years. The country has changed from what it was in the 90s. But so has many countries. You know, in 20 years, there is progress. And it's true, Rwanda has made a lot of progress compared to many other countries. But, you know, buildings and clean streets are not a measuring factor for me. Let's first respect human lives. Let's first respect people who have different opinions and exchange and be able to sit down and have different point of view and encourage young people to think differently. Then we'll talk about progress. So the fact that Rwanda has the highest number of female lawmakers in the parliament than any other country, where does that lead us, you know? Does it mean it's the best place for women? It depends. What do you call best place for women if they cannot bring up their point of view and have other people challenge them? If they cannot stand up for their fellow women, if they cannot challenge what is being forced onto the people? So to me, it's not really a question. It's not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of quality, not quantity.
President Kagame was successful in securing, I suppose, for himself, the ability to have a third term in government. And there was a big international debate around that particular issue where he was successful. He is able to, I suppose, be president up until 2034, if I'm not incorrect, Anne. What are the fears that somebody in that kind of power, position of power, who has enjoyed, I suppose, limited acclaim internationally? People are looking at Rwanda and they're saying, wow, Rwanda is doing well. Why would he be afraid of women who seem to be wanting to make a bid for the presidency of that country, if he is enjoying that kind of acclaim, that kind of political success, economic success? What would he be afraid of?
Well, that's a question you should probably ask him. What is he afraid of, indeed, if everything is going so well? But my guess would be it's a question of being afraid of losing it all, you know, when what you're holding on to is not legitimate, when you sell a lie to the outside world, you are constantly in fear of losing that thing you have been selling to everyone, because you yourself know it's not real. So you live in constant fear, and it's not really, it's women today that are being incarcerated for challenging him, but many, many men have tried to challenge him and have ended up in prison or dead. Women today, and it's a shock because...
Go ahead, Anne.
I was about to say it's men, it was men yesterday and it's still men, but it's more women that we hear about today because of that contrast of having so many women in the parliament. We have 67% now. went from 64% to 67% of women in parliament. A couple of days ago, we actually had elections for the MPs, and the number of women in parliament was raised from 64% to 67%. So I think it's that contrast of hearing women being given such a high place in the country, yet those who challenge the leaders are not given a voice, are not given a seat in that parliament. They are given a seat in prison. So that's where the contradiction comes. And we just have to make them accountable. You know, are you selling us a lie? Are these numbers real? Are these numbers that you sent to the World Bank and all these other institutions, are they real? Or is poverty really higher than you claiming it to be? Is unemployment higher than that? There is no real dialogue taking place. And those who dare to come up with the real numbers or who dare to challenge them, their lives are put, they put their lives in danger. But it has to happen. It has to happen. It's very simple. That's the sad part. Those are very simple questions. Those are basics for a country to move forward. So when you try to muzzle those who have legitimate questions, then you're really removing the platform for the next generations to be able to progress.
Your sister has been sentenced to 20 years in prison. I'm curious to find out, what are the issues, very briefly, that she has raised that would have raised the ire of the regime?
She hasn't been sentenced yet.
Oh, she hasn't been sentenced yet. All right. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
She hasn't. But she's facing, along with my mother, they are facing each 22 years. That's what the prosecution requested for them to get, 22 years each. Mm-hmm. For, as I explained earlier, my mother for WhatsApp text messages with her sister, explaining her unhappiness or her grieving about my father's passing. And for Dayan, she is she held press conferences when she was about to, when she had announced her intentions to run. She held a few press conferences pointing out what she would be changing, what she would work on in the country if she is elected. So those are the accusations. So she pointed out persecution, injustice. She pointed out the economy that is not, the economy which is not what we are being told. She pointed out different numbers that don't match what is being sent to the outside world. She pointed out the famine among the people, unemployment among the youth. So she just pointed out really real issues that are present in our country. And that's what happened. That's how she ended up in prison.
And what can, I'm getting a lot of people that are coming onto social media that are saying, we didn't know this about Rwanda. We thought that Rwanda is the next African miracle. And this is very scary. What can we do to help the Rwigara family, and particularly your mom and your mom, Adeline and Diane? Yeah, what can people do?
Yes,
what can the world do?
Well, people have been very, very supportive already, so it's always encouraging to see people willing and ready to do something and to contribute to the cause. There is already the hashtag Free Diane that is going around on social media. Hashtag Free Diane Rwigara. And this is really a question of everyone coming together to fight injustice. You know, this is happening in Rwanda, but when it happens in Rwanda, it really affects the outside world. You know, MLK, Martin Luther King said, injustice, a threat to justice anywhere. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So we have to stand up as Africans and fight injustice. People can contact my sister's Twitter account, I believe it's at Shima Rwigara.
At Shima Rwigara.
Shima Rwigara.
Yeah.
yes, at Shima Rwigara, that's her Twitter account, yeah. And send messages, and we can have a small discussion on what can be done, because we have a lot of people coming in asking what we can do, and there is so much that can be done. This is the time for us. There are so many people in the Rwandan prisons that are unjustly being persecuted. And I'm just glad Diane has brought up a platform. Her name was really spoken about all around the country, around Africa, around Europe, and anywhere really in the United States. A lot of people have, this has shed light to the reality in the country. And so people are willing to help, and we are ready to do something. We are ready to come out and fight injustice, and we are looking for peaceful solutions. You know, there are so many opportunities for us to do something to change the outcome of what is happening in our country. And if we don't do something today, when we will do it? You know, when everyone is dead, because everyone has been silenced all along. People are harassed, people are tortured, some have disappeared. But, you know, you can kill a man, but you can't kill his idea. So we will get things to a better place.
And
we definitely will.
I'm a little concerned now. Obviously, this is a public platform, and the world is listening to you. And given your account of what is going on in Rwanda for the dissenting voice, and the reality of your sister and your mother's incarceration, what happens to you now?
I hope nothing major happens to me, but I hope nothing. I pray nothing happens to me. There has been so much actually that has happened in the last 3, almost 4 years now, that I just pray that nothing happens. You know, we have to keep going. We can't go and hide under the bed and hope for things to get better. We have to make a change, and the change will come from ourselves, not from hiding and keeping quiet, but from speaking up and forcing a dialogue and forcing for things to change, and it will happen. I'm positive about it.
And Rwigara, I'm in awe of your courage. I know what you are facing, just based on what we heard on Tuesday when we wanted to have this interview, and I'm not at liberty to say at this stage, but I just want to thank you very much for your courage. We continue to keep you in our hearts and in our minds, and for your mom and your sister. And we really hope that a better day will dawn for the Republic of Rwanda and the people of Rwanda. But once again, I want to thank you very much for your courage and for you agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you. And I just want to say one thing. I want to thank everyone who has been so supportive. This has been such a difficult road, and it still is. There is still a lot to do. There is so much work ahead. And I just want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart, whether it's family or friends or people we don't even know who just come out and show their support. I just want to say thank you, and God bless you.
And Rwigara, thank you very much. I really appreciate talking to you. That was Anne Rwigara. She is the sister of Diane Rwigara and the daughter of Adeline Rwigara, who are incarcerated since last year, around about September, for simply suggesting that they may want to run for the presidency in Rwanda.